The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. How's the audio quality, Chris? We okay?
Yeah, it's a little muffled, but we'll get there.
Okay. All right. Second straight day, we kick off The Big Show with a little audio trouble, but we're bigger than that. And we've got some really important things that we need to talk about here as we begin the show today. Because what we are seeing right now is a fundamental remaking for the dramatically worse of the city of Seattle. And what this means to all of the surrounding areas throughout the Puget Sound area, throughout Western Washington, really throughout the state. This is going to have catastrophic impact on Seattle. This could be the most devastating week in Seattle's history. If some of the things that are being planned that happen this week go forward, this will be the most devastating, catastrophic week in Seattle's history. And the fact that this is getting such little attention is shocking to me. Let's get right into The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. I sense a Dory rant coming on.
Yeah, I've already started. Okay, it started on Monday when the Seattle City Council voted to implement the biggest tax increase in Seattle history. Now, this is going to be part one of the Seattle catastrophe of this week. And I'll get back to that in just a few minutes. What it means, though, is that businesses, and we're talking about the businesses that create good jobs. This is what cities all around the country scramble to get. Companies like Amazon, where New York City was prepared to give them all sorts of tax breaks if they would relocate to NYC. But then AOC blew up NYC for AMZN, and they pulled out because Amazon doesn't want to go to a place where it's not wanted. And when you have a Marxist city councilwoman like Shama Sawant, who is calling Jeff Bezos the enemy, and then we find out that her fellow Marxist on the Seattle City Council, and then the rest of them who are anywhere from Democrat socialist to all-out socialist, but they despise capitalism. I mean, that really is the message here. And so they've decided to impose the biggest tax increase in Seattle history. And so that's part one of this disaster. And it means great things, though, for Bellevue, Redmond, Issaquah, Tacoma, Everett. I mean, what opportunities is we're going to see businesses flock to the surrounding region? And so Seattle's folly could be just an absolute boon for all of the surrounding region. But what the real disaster is in Seattle is the vote yesterday, 7-2, to defund the Seattle Police Department by 50%. So let's think about what that means. Again, if you live in the suburbs or in surrounding cities, it means your real estate valuations are going to go up because there is going to be an exodus from Seattle. It makes me horrified and scared as a parent. You know, two of my three kids live with roommates in the city. And we've seen over the last few years what happens when a city is overrun by heroin addicts, by street encampments where rape, prostitution, pimping goes on a regular basis. We have the worst property crime in the United States of America. And so yesterday, and by the way, I want to thank everybody. We're restarting our audio. It's going to get cleaned up in just a few minutes here. So thanks for putting up with this. I know it's not the cleanest audio in the world right now. But what we're seeing is the horrible elements that have overtaken Seattle are going to get dramatically worse. Street crime will all be decriminalized. In fact, the group that was pushing for this with the Seattle City Council yesterday was called Decriminalize Seattle. Now, that does not mean let's eliminate crime from the city. What that means is they want to take what is now a crime and decriminalize it. So car prowls, there aren't going to be any cops to respond. Your bike gets stolen out of your garage. No chance police respond to that because there's only going to be half the cops. We don't have enough cops for the serious crimes now. And so imagine what it's going to be like when we decriminalize things like property crimes in Seattle. They want no bail. So even the most violent offenders, those who commit assaults, sexual assaults, that they could be just released back out onto the streets. This is the vision. We saw it at CHOP over the last month or so. We saw their vision. Graffiti everywhere, rapes continually in the tents that sprung up there. And it's a dystopian view of what our future is. But we don't have to wonder what it's going to be like, what it's going to look like. We know it's going to be like CHOP. You're going to have armed, militant street people walking around, policing and intimidating anybody who violates their code of the street. Here's what bothers me so desperately with all of this, and it's who's making this decision. It isn't the people of Seattle. Now, shame on the people of Seattle for voting for these council members. That is just an absolute shocking shame. 76% of Seattle voters did not participate in the last city council election. And so you had this small minority of radicals that just chose to do just that. They put people in charge who want to destroy capitalism, who want to burn the city to the ground, and then they want to rebuild it in their Marxist image. Again, not a surprise if you're a longtime listener to this show. I've been telling you about this for years and years and years, and now we're seeing all of that come to fruition here. But the people don't get a say on defunding the police. You have seven council members who have just ridiculous resumes. I mean, they have no business. Most of them have never worked a day in their adult life in the private sector. All they have been are these radical, they've grown up as radical ideologues, going to universities like Evergreen State College. And now they want to just implement that radicalism to our city. And let me give you an example. One of the guys who wants to create a first responder alternative to the police is new councilman Andrew Lewis. And I looked up Andrew Lewis's bio on his Seattle.gov webpage. He worked for the Seattle City Attorney's Office. And as you know, and by the way, Chris Martin, you can probably reconnect with me on our other line anytime now. But Andrew Lewis worked for the Seattle City Attorney. Oh, let me click on. I want to fix this audio as quick as possible. Let me slide over to my real microphone, which is one that sounds much better. Let me get my other headphones on.
How do I sound? Is this better? You got me, Chris?
You're kind of echoey there.
Yeah, you know why? It's because I still had my iPhone app going. How's that? No echo now?
That's great.
Oh, sweet. Okay. Jeez, that's stressful. You know how stressful it is to try to do a monologue while you are frantically restarting a computer and trying to type in all the passwords and everything that are required? to restart a computer. It's incredibly stressful, but that's the kind of professionals that we are. Okay, Andrew Lewis, one of the guys who is behind this, let's completely make over the whole concept of what a police department is. So Andrew Lewis, he worked for the Seattle City Attorney's Office. Before that, he worked on the Seattle Human Rights Commission, the Rental Housing Inspection Stakeholder Committee, the Executive Board of the 36th District Democrats, a delegate to the MLK Labor Council, and campaign manager for another city council member. And so, unless he has some things that he has not listed on his bio on the website, he's never done a thing in the private sector. And these are the kinds of ideologues. He got one of his degrees at Cal Berkeley. Another council member got her degree at Evergreen State College. So they go to these radicalized, you know, far, far, far leftist universities, and they've decided that the one city that can be completely overtaken and destroyed to be rebuilt in a Marxist image is Seattle, because the voters here were so complacent. But again, what does this mean? I mean, think about it. You know, Seattle is dying was the storyline a year ago, because we were just letting criminals walk the streets because we don't hold them. We don't keep them locked up for anything except murder, it seems. But people with violent assaults, they get captured and released on a regular basis. And so what did we have? Well, we have, you know, as I said, the worst property crime in the country. We have the, you know, the heroin, where the heroin addiction capital of the United States now. And why? Well, because of our politics, because of some of the craziness that has preceded this insane week. We have a prosecutor in King County who has decriminalized all drugs, heroin, meth. So, of course, we have people who want to use heroin and meth without the fear of going to prison. Of course we have them coming here to Seattle. You can shoot up heroin on the streets of Seattle with absolute impunity. And the result of all of this is all the street crime that we've seen. Cops can't respond to the most basic of property crime calls. And so now we're going to make it dramatically worse. And why? Because seven radicals on the Seattle City Council, this is a veto-proof number. Mayor Jenny Durkin, I'll give her credit. I don't give her a lot of credit. But Jenny Durkin knows that cutting our police department in half will be disastrous. By the way, the city council members, they'll still have police stationed outside of their meetings. They'll still have full police protection. They're just taking it away from the citizens. Jenny Durkin will still have a police detail that shepherds her 24/7. But you and me, if you live in Seattle, you're going to see property crime, you're going to see house break-ins, you're going to see assaults, and you're going to see some of the violent crime that comes with having so many mentally deranged people. People who are, their brains have been fried by all the drugs that they've used. And we're not going to have any cops to deal with it. So they're driving all the businesses, all the job creators out of the city with the biggest business tax in history in the midst of the most challenging recession in 70 years. And then they're going to eliminate cops. All because of radical city council members who don't know anything about real life. They don't. All they know is how to implement their vision of what Marxism will look like in Seattle. Teresa Mosqueda, she was apologizing because in the past she voted to increase the police budget. But now so that she can just be appropriately woke. Teresa Mosqueda now says, no, I've changed my mind. Instead of increasing the budget like I've done in the past, I want to cut it by 50% now.
The status quo is no longer acceptable. I take personal responsibility for every vote I have taken that has contributed to the expansion of law enforcement and those legal systems at the expense of community-based investments. And I owe it to all of you to say that I am sorry for those votes.
What a disgrace. What an absolute disgrace. And she says that, yes, she says, Dory Monson was right about us. We do want to completely dismantle the system. She left out the Dory Monson is right part, but I know that she almost said that.
When millions of people took to the street to protest excessive use of force and police violence, they were met with excessive use of force and police violence. And it's not just about a few bad actors. It is the institution of policing itself that must be dismantled.
We have a city council that despises our cops, despises the men and women who have suffered so much abuse, who were out there trying to stop the rioting. Can you imagine if we had no cops the night downtown Seattle burned? Well, when we have no cops, that will be the permanency in Seattle. People will walk into businesses, grab armloads of product with impunity because they want to decriminalize Seattle. They want to decriminalize shoplifting. This is going to destroy the city. The tax will drive out the businesses. When the big businesses with the nice paying jobs are gone, all of the little coffee shops, the barista stands, the little bakeries, all the people who make under $150,000, but their livelihood is dependent on having a healthy, vibrant downtown business core. Tom Douglas has permanently closed two restaurants in downtown Seattle because he sees the future. It's not coming back. It cannot come back when you have Marxists in charge of the Seattle City Council. And so I submit for your consideration that this has been the most disastrous week in the history of the city of Seattle, as our council will drive out all the decent paying job businesses, and they are going to decriminalize most crimes, and they're going to eliminate half of the police force to enforce the more violent crimes. It is going to become a war zone around here. Mark my words. Okay, that is your big lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Okay, I didn't get to a lot of the audio that I need to share with you since I'm scrambling with our connection issue. So I'm going to continue with the big lead. More thoughts on all this. I want to hear from you. What do you think about Seattle with a veto-proof plan now to cut police by 50%? Also, the battle between Inslee and Trump to get your kids back in school this fall. You're probably going to be surprised who I side with on this one. Well, you probably won't be after I just said that. Okay, all of that straight ahead. Text me what you think about all this at 98973. 98973. We are just getting rolling here on the Dory Monson Show. Another shooting in Seattle last night, Madison Park. Group of people said they were celebrating in the park when they heard shots. A woman, 27-year-old woman, was shot. Non-life-threatening injuries. A friend drove her to the hospital. And the witnesses would not cooperate with police. They would not tell the cops if the shots were fired from a moving vehicle or if the suspect was on foot. Just no cooperation at all. Gang detectives are investigating that shooting. And then I got an email from one of my listeners who's a great emailer, tipster, and he said there was a shooting about 1,000 feet from his house in Bellevue early this morning. And Patrick Arpin, he is the assistant Bellevue police chief. He joins us live here on the Dory Monson Show. Chief, I appreciate you coming on with me today.
Oh, you're absolutely welcome. Good afternoon.
Tell me what happened in which neighborhood in Bellevue did this happen in?
Okay, this is we had a shooting this morning in the south area of Bellevue. It occurred about 8:25 outside the Overlook at Lakemont Apartments. We had multiple reports of gunshots in the area. And our officers responded. It took them about 5 to 6 minutes to get there. It was hard to find the exact location. And again, it's on the south end of Bellevue. But we located a man with multiple gunshot wounds. And so we had to treat him. I'm very proud of our officers that got there quickly because he had, multiple gunshot wounds all over his body. They applied a couple different tourniquets at least, took care of him until he was transported. Aide got there and transported him to Harborview Hospital.
And do we know the condition of the victim?
Well, so far he's doing well, and that's what we hope that'll continue.
Do you know, when you say multiple gunshot wounds, do you know how many we're talking about?
No, I don't have that specific information at this time, but it was several.
Okay. I mean, the first thing that comes to my mind isn't about the crime itself. It's about the resiliency of the human body. And again, what a tribute to your officers that they probably saved this guy's life if he had multiple gunshot wounds. But I don't know what it's like to get shot, thank goodness. But the resiliency of the human body, if you can get shot multiple times and still be doing okay, that's just amazing to me when I hear something like that.
I would agree with you there. Absolutely true. I mean, a lot of times someone's shot once. It depends on where the wound is and the severity of it. So far, this guy is doing well.
Okay, who are you looking for?
Well, you know, we don't have a direct witness this time to the actual shooting, but we have witness reports that we may a suspect of interest or subject of interest at this point was a potential male about 5'5", in his 20s, wearing a gray hoodie and athletic style pants. And we have kind of a mixed reports on that, so it could be a male or a female. We're just not quite sure at this point. We did a canine track from the area. Unfortunately, that was not successful. So at this point, we're starting to canvass the area and really just trying to get any potential witnesses there. You know, it was found in the parking lot outside of, you know, in the apartment complex next to a vehicle. And we believe there are other witnesses there, or at least in the area. And maybe we're hoping that someone has a Ring camera, you know, a doorbell type camera or a video camera outside their apartment, that maybe they captured something or somebody matching that kind of description.
Yeah, I saw the description you guys released. Male, approximately 5'5", slim build, gray hoodie, unknown color athletic pants, green gloves. Do we know the race of the shooter? Hello? Did we lose our guest? That's okay. That's okay. I got everything I need. I don't need to bother the assistant chief. Would you call him back and just say thank you, though, for coming on with us live?
Certainly.
I'd appreciate that. Thanks, Chris. That was just very interesting to me. We know how tall he is. We know he's slim. We know he had a gray hoodie. We know he had green gloves. But we don't know the race. I don't know his race. I don't know if he's white, black, Hispanic, Asian. I have no idea. But it's always...
So, Dory, I talked to him a little bit going into it. It sounds like the person, the only witness they had was the person, the victim, and they claim to have not been able to really see skin because of a face mask. So they weren't sure about race.
Was it a ski mask? I mean, I could...
Well,
people
are getting away with it. I mean, I see people in grocery. Well, I see people in grocery stores with ski masks now.
Yeah.
It's kind of, there's some scary ones out there, too.
Yeah. I mean, I can tell the race of somebody if they're wearing a face mask. Now, it's just odd that they put out a description and that gets left out. I'm guessing they have an idea of the race. I don't know what it is. White, black, brown, Asian. I don't know. But when you put out everything else, male, approximately 5'5", slim build, gray hoodie, athletic pants, green gloves. But, wow, we don't know the race. Oh, we're in some odd times.
I don't think they have much to go on. It is odd times.
Yeah. It's just that some things apparently trump getting the best information out to people. Okay, with that, let me take a quick time out. I appreciate the assistant chief jumping on with us live there. And then I want to get back to our big lead. What's going on with defunding the police by 50%? We also, as the afternoon progresses, Trump versus Inslee on getting your kids back in school this fall. We have lots more straight ahead as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. So why did the city finally shut down CHOP? Was it because two teenagers were murdered? The 16-year-old just executed, fighting for his life after having been shot, and then they walked up, point-blank, execute him. Murder's on the loose still. Hey, let's defund the police. Let's ensure that people who murder can continue to walk around free. I think 50% fewer cops would be a healthy step in that direction, because we need to decriminalize murder in Seattle. So was it because two teenagers were murdered? Was it because the protesters went to Jenny Durkin's Lake Washington waterfront mansion? Well, there's some other information that's been coming out. The president talked about it last night on Sean Hannity's show, because there have been reports that the president was about to send federal troops, whether it be National Guard or military, into Seattle to end CHOP. And last night, the president said that when he told Jenny Durkin that he was about to do that, that's when Jenny Durkin finally shut it down.
100%. We were going in very soon. We let them know that, and they didn't want that. So they went in before we got there, but we were going in very shortly, very soon, and we would have taken the CHOP, I call it CHOP. We would have taken it back very easily, but they went in, and frankly, the people just gave up. They were tired. They had it for a long period of time, but because of the fact that we were going to go in.
CHOP, I call it. CHOP. That's what everybody calls it. It's not your nickname for it. But he said that he really wanted to clear it out if Seattle would not.
And, we were all set to go into Seattle. Frankly, I looked forward to it.
As for Jenny Durkin, she talked to King 5 Television, king5.com. And I've told you, there's something really off with Jenny Durkin and how she's talked about this. I think in many ways it has broken her, because when she had that press conference a week ago, she sounded like a broken person. And she was so robotic when she talked about the deaths of these two teenagers. And it was Chris Daniels at King 5 who asked her if there was anything she should have done differently, like maybe not allowed it in the first place. That's my thinking.
You look back at that. Is there anything that you'd like a do-over on?
So I think looking back, Chris, is we are in just unprecedented times here. I deeply, deeply regret the loss of life in and around Capitol Hill.
Again, that's such a weird answer. Is there anything you would like a do-over on? I regret the loss of life. Well, we all regret the loss of life. That wasn't the question. The question is, should you have done anything differently? You created the conditions that caused the loss of life. You were the engineer, Mayor Durkin, of CHOP. It wouldn't have happened if you had not allowed it. And if you had not allowed it, those two teenagers, those 16 and 19-year-old kids, would still be alive. All of the women who were raped there in that three-week period, as they were getting passed from tent to tent by their pimps, so their pimps could get their next heroin fix. That's what brought the murder into CHOP. The street gangs that make their money dealing drugs moved in quickly to CHOP because it was a target-rich environment, and there was a turf war for who was going to get to deal those drugs. And then Jenny Durkin told King 5 something absolutely bizarre.
There's no question that that park and area now represents to our city a shared struggle in our country for justice and for equality and for equity.
And so she said she wants to memorialize the park, maybe with a plaque, she said. Really? One of the darkest moments in our city's history, where murder and rapes occurred multiple times, and you want to memorialize it? That's your idea of something that should be etched in stone? It's just another sign how sick things have gotten. Okay, should we get your kids back in school in the fall? Trump versus Inslee. Next on the Dory Monson Shuffle.